Good morning again, and welcome to Crosslink Radio. This is Shirley Gutkowski, your host of the only radio show podcast that talks about health that includes the mouth. A lot of shows are talking about health of the body and, you know, the thyroid and the spleen and the gut, and everybody's talking about everything except the mouth. And it's more than just making sure you get floss in there. The two F words of dentistry, floss and fluoride, are not the only answer to oral health and oral disease. So that's why I developed Crosslink Radio. So thanks for joining us, and please share as many episodes as you can, and let's get some momentum going here when we talk about the health of the mouth. So today we're going to be talking about the Oral Health Foundation Walk in Waukesha, Wisconsin, which is, I don't know, it's not really a suburb. I have to say it's its own city, and it is very close to Milwaukee, so let's call it that way. It's the Wisconsin Inaugural Oral Cancer Foundation Walk, and that's what we're going to be talking today about with Jill Meyer-Lippert. Jill began her dental career in 1992 as a dental assistant and receptionist, and later became a registered dental hygienist in 1994. She earned a certificate in oncology management from the University of Southern Indiana, and she began to volunteer and do programs that provided goodie bags with product samples and stuff to patients that were undergoing cancer treatment. Jill and her husband are the owners of Side Effect Support, LLC, which is dedicated to helping oncology patients manage the oral side of the effects of cancer treatments. Jill is also the 2014 recipient of the SunStar America's RDH Award of Distinction and the co-organizer of Wisconsin Oral Health Cancer Foundation Run Walk for Awareness. She is a member of the American Academy of Dental Hygiene and an associate member of the American Academy for Oral Systemic Health, and she continues to practice in a general dentistry office in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Shirley. How are you today?
I'm doing really good, except for why are we still raising awareness for oral cancer? Isn't everybody aware?
No. In fact, it is very frightening how unaware people are, not only about the signs, the symptoms of oral cancers, possible ways of developing oral cancers, and sadly, how few people are getting regular screenings.
Well, if they go to the dentist every 6 months, aren't they getting screened twice a year?
They should be. That is one of the goals of the Oral Cancer Foundation. They have started a campaign not that long ago called being part of the change, and that is targeted towards dental hygienists to commit to performing a thorough oral cancer examination on every patient every time they see them. Because unfortunately, and I'm sure you can relate to this, you know, when you get out of school, you go from a situation where you maybe had 4 hours for a patient,
yep,
2 hours for a patient, and
yep,
all of a sudden you get into the real world and you have an hour if you're lucky sometimes. And at that point, something has to give. And unfortunately, oral cancer screening seems to be one of the first things to go.
It's crazy. I speak to audiences, dental hygiene audiences across the country and a little bit across the globe. And when I ask who does oral cancer screenings, everybody raises their hand. So maybe it's just limited to people that go to CEs that I give, that those are the ones who do the oral cancer screening. But you're right. The oral cancer screening was the first thing to go because you have to get polishing in there, and the patient notices the polishing.
Right.
And I've often had patients even say to me, let's skip the oral cancer screening, I don't want to pay for it. I'm like, you're going to pay no matter what. So, you know, we're doing the oral cancer screening. So do you know why it is that the oral cancer screening is so easy to give up? Or do we have statistics or anything like that to talk about oral cancer screening in the dental office?
I've never heard of any statistics to really explain why it's something that falls by the wayside. I think there are a few different reasons that sometimes even the the mention of, you know, when you tell a patient, I'm going to do an oral cancer screening, sometimes people feel that's a frightening thing. They don't want to frighten their patients. Sometimes they feel, even though we're in very close, intimate contact and quarters with our patients already, sometimes people look at it more like, well, I'm kind of scanning the tissue as I'm looking, but they aren't going in and actually palpating.
Right.
So in their mind, they are doing a screening to an extent, but really usually not a very thorough one.
I remember a long time ago when I was a new dental hygienist, I was a sub, and I worked at this one office in Waukesha, actually, and the dentist was left-handed. So I did my whole cleaning, and I did everything, you know, I did a cursory oral cancer screening, and I went to the other side of, no, that's, he was right-handed, sorry about that. I went to the other side of the patient while he was doing his exam so I could do the notes and everything. And he was doing, you know, a little exam just like every other dentist in the world does it. But from my vantage point from the other side, where exactly on the spot of the tongue where my mirror was covering the tongue constantly, there was a lesion almost the size of the mirror that I never saw. When you're pushing the tongue down or when you're holding it aside, it was on the far side of the tongue, right? So it was on the left side of the tongue. And that's where the mirror was. And I never saw it until the doctor was doing his exam. So that to me was like a little eye opener, like you need to do a real exam and have the patient stick their tongue out onto gauze and look at the whole tongue because you just don't even know what you don't see.
Yes. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of the lesions that are most serious are hiding is on those back underside areas of the tongue. So unless you really actively are taking that tongue out, pulling it from side to side, chances are it won't be seen.
So as part of the oral cancer screening, I think that we can be doing a couple of things. We can be screening the tissue. We can also be screening for sleep apnea. And that, and there was something else that I was thinking too that would, that's a good match for all of this together and maybe enlisting some of these other organizations might be helpful in increasing the chances of doing an oral cancer screening.
And it is funny that you mentioned that because I can't tell you how many times as I'm looking at the back of their throat that I'm seeing issues with tonsils or, you know, a very narrow airway that all of a sudden starts a new conversation about snoring, sleep apnea, and it is very interesting that one thing really is connected and leads to the next.
Yeah, it's crazy. Nothing really stands alone, does it?
That's for sure.
Okay, so the logistics of the walk before we get off on some other really interesting topics. So it's going to be held on what day?
It is held on Saturday, October 17th, and that is at Waukesha County Technical College. And registration begins at 9 a.m. And the walk, and we do have a walk and a run that both begin at 10 a.m. We have many prizes, raffles, silent auctions, 50-50 tickets. We have a live band playing.
Wow.
Great speakers. We have Eva Grizel, who is a phenomenal speaker. She is an oral cancer survivor herself, and she has the most powerful story. She is well worth coming to listen to. And we also have Dr. Dennis Abbott coming, who is a dental oncologist out of Texas, who will be, luckily we were able to coordinate a continuing education event with Dr. Abbott the evening before the walk. That'll take place just a few miles from the technical college, and then he will be coming over to our event the next day to speak a bit as well.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know about the CE part. Is that continuing education for only dentistry, or can it be for medical as well?
We tried very hard to get it to be for both medical and dental, but we were told because of the Sunshine Act that it has to be very separate, but it is open to the dentist and the entire dental team, and it's being held the evening before on the 16th at, just double checking my times here, at 5:30 to 6 is registration and food, and then 6 to 8 is the oral cancer seminar. So he's just a wealth of knowledge and a great resource for giving us information on how to treat oral cancer patients, how early diagnosis, long-term care.
Awesome. That's an important feature there. So that's October 16th, and that's in Waukesha. So if somebody wants to sign up for that, they can go to your website, right?
If they would like to actually email us, I can give you our email address. It is Waukesha, W-A-U-K-E-S-H-A .OCF.Wisconsin@gmail.com. And if you'd like to, Shirley, I can also send you another link if you would like to post one about the seminar itself.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be good. So Waukesha.OCF.WI or Wisconsin spelled out?
WI.
Okay. And then that's at Gmail.
Yes.
Okay. And then the website, though, would be to go to the oralcancer.org site?
Yes, you can go to the oralcancerfoundation.org and find our event. If you scroll through the different events and look on October 17th, it will lead you to a link that will bring you right to our event page. It just has a very long web address.
And then how long is your walk run?
We plan to probably be wrapping up around noon or so. It just depends how long people like to stick around, and we'll have the raffle prizes and everything that we'll choose or we'll pick the winners for after the walk is completed.
I meant, how far is the walk? Is it 3 miles or a mile? Or
it is a 5K. It is okay. 3.1 miles.
Oh, 3.1 miles. That's no problem. So what is your turn? What kind of sponsors do you have for this already? And what's the band?
The band name I have lost out of my head.
Somebody else's department?
At the moment. It is a variety band. I've heard a lot of great things about them. And our sponsors, we have several sponsors that have already committed and many more that are coming along the way. Sullivan Shine, or Henry Shine, ooh, I should say, Dental Health Products, Crown Seating, Basic Bites, Vitamix. It's a very wide range of sponsors, so we're very excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so those are the details of the meeting. And then let's go back to just talking about oral cancer a little bit more. One of the problems with oral cancer is the number of new cases being found in very young people with no risk factors. They're not smoking, they're not drinking, and they're turning up with oral cancer in their 20s. And then the other part is that we have a very poor rate after 5 years. Half of the people are dying still after 5 years after being treated, and the treatment is horrible. I would say it's the worst treatment out of probably any disease we have.
Yes. For most people that do surpass that 5-year survival mark, they tend to have very significant lifelong issues that could range from facial disfigurement, inability to speak or communicate properly. Many times they're dependent on alternative feeding mechanisms, maybe like a feeding tube. Swallowing can be very problematic, and many times that can lead to actually aspirating food and then respiratory issues. Even something that most people wouldn't make a connection to, but they many times can have a carotid artery blockage because of the effects of the radiation on those blood vessels.
Wow.
So even survival has many, many hardships that follow.
Yeah, it's not a pleasant. Ava Grizel, though, has rebounded significantly.
Yeah.
There's nothing about her that would make you think that she was an oral cancer survivor. And she is one of probably half the people that insisted on further diagnostics because she got poo-pooed and waved off by a number of oral health care professionals.
Yes, and unfortunately, I have heard that story far too many times since getting involved with this, even from dental professionals themselves. I recently attended RDH Under One Roof, a very large dental hygienist conference, and heard an amazing story from a dental hygienist who knew there was something wrong, and she was shuffled around for several months being told it was nothing, and thankfully she was a huge advocate for her own health, and it really did turn out to be cancer, and she saved her own life just because of her own persistence.
Yeah, it's not nice, this oral cancer thing. The way that it is right now is not nice, and raising awareness is really important, because without awareness, we can never fix some of these goofy problems. Over and over again, I hear about hygienists who do oral cancer screenings and find something, and the dentists who they're working with agree to recommend that the patient see an oral surgeon for a biopsy. And because the oral surgeon has magical eyes, he is able to see deep into the tissue and discern the type of cells that he's looking at. Usually it's a he. And says, oh, no, that's nothing, without ever doing a biopsy. So I would encourage the listeners who are not dental health care providers, if you do find something in your mouth, make sure that somebody does a biopsy. Some of the biopsies done early can remove the entire precancerous lesion without having any further treatment.
Absolutely. When found at early stages, oral cancers can have up to an 80 to 90% survival rate. And the reason that it has such a low overall survival rate is because the vast majority are found at late stages.
Mm-hmm.
And part of our efforts, too, is to really educate the public on signs and symptoms of things that they can look for themselves, because chances are they are probably going to be the first one to notice something's wrong. And it's so easy when you notice something to think, oh, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
And of course, thinking you have oral cancer is the last thing on your mind. So
right.
if we can really educate people on these signs and symptoms, hopefully they can be proactive to bring that to the attention of a healthcare provider and pursue it further.
I often say that people would rather die of cancer than know they have it.
It's a scary thought. Yes, I think sometimes that is the case. They'd rather it's easier to ignore it than actually take it into your own hands and attempt to find out that you have it.
Exactly, especially if people look at it and go, oh, that's nothing. I had a patient who we had to keep smoothing down his tooth. She had been in three or four times to have a tooth smoothed because it was irritating her tongue. And all of that was done before I started working there, and she was in my chair, and she's like, you know, I guess the doc has to smooth that tooth again because it's still really irritating my tongue. I'm like, what? You can't, unless the tooth actually breaks, once it's smooth, it's smoothed. And if your tongue is still being irritated, for the listeners, you need to find a different dentist who's going to take that matter into their own hands better. You can't keep smoothing a tooth. That's not going to be the answer. That is the answer of somebody who's got their head in the sand. And that's really too bad. And then when you go to the American Dental Association site and some of the other popular sites to find out more about it and whether or not you have oral cancer, what they are suggesting as bullets for people that may have oral cancer are very late stages. Have hoarseness that won't go away, difficulty swallowing, your teeth don't match up, you have a sore that won't bleed. That's really far into the future. So any tiny little thing that you have in your mouth, and your tongue especially, should be evaluated and should be looked at multiple times in short succession. Any wound should clear up in, 2 weeks?
Yes. Normally, the cell turnover in your mouth is so rapid that any type of a traumatic sore in your mouth should be healed within that 12 to 14-day time span. And if something lasts longer than that, that is a good indication that it could be something more serious.
There are a couple of new ways of doing oral cancer screenings. One of them is using light fluorescence to detect changes in the tissue, and another is what they're calling a brush biopsy. Do you have comments on either of those?
I think the fluorescence is really interesting. I mean, as far as I understand, fluorescence has been used for many, many years in other types of cancers, for cervical cancer. The neat thing is they've developed very lightweight, manageable type of devices that are so much easier and convenient to use, and the cost is coming down. So it's much easier for offices to afford to get these adjunctive products into their office that may pick up onto some tissue that's suspicious before, that we can't see with our own eyes. And the neat thing with the brush biopsy too is that if you do have a suspicious area, that can show some early changes in the cell structure or the cell development that you may be catching something before it has a chance to actually turn into cancer.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that brush biopsy, and it just hurts me to know that that's not in every single office. We should be testing all white and red lesions almost immediately after a 2 week, hey, let's see kind of a visit. If it's still there in 2 weeks, we need to take some kind of action, and it doesn't require us tooth smoothing. You're right. There does need to be a lot more awareness about all of this kind of stuff.
Yes, and that is the one thing that I think really attracts me to the organization of the Oral Cancer Foundation, because they are very leading in the research end. They're very involved in the latest, the greatest, weeding out the good information, the bad information. So the information that you find on their website is good information. You don't have to worry about it being skewed by statistics and bad studies, because they really thoroughly vet those.
That's awesome. That's really important to know too, because this is a pretty delicate patient base.
Yeah.
They're afraid. I know that when we see people in the dental practice or in the dental practice with any major condition, they really can only report on half of what was told to them in the medical office. And they don't hear things, and they're too nervous to translate things in their mind to make it work for them. And it's kind of a crazy situation. So it's important for us to all understand better what's going on.
And there is so much coming out all the time. I mean, since taking on this volunteer position, I've always been researching as much as I can about anything that comes up with oral cancer, and ending up finding out that, if you know, just because it's reported, it doesn't necessarily mean it's very accurate. So some of those things, it's very much a learning experience in finding those trusted resources.
Yeah, it's too bad. So, what else do we need to talk about before
I think
we end here in the next couple of minutes?
one thing I just like to bring up, because being that so many of the new cases are related to the human papillomavirus, and they are hitting a demographic that was not the typical older, heavy smoker, heavy drinker male, there's so much fear out there for some of the anti-vaccination people about the HPV vaccination. And one of the, by coincidence, in Waukesha in July of last year, there was actually a 12-year-old girl who passed away the afternoon after receiving her first HPV vaccination.
Ooh.
And the news, the mainstream media, social media took that and ran with it. And the fear was high. And I know some of my friends who actually do a lot of education on oral cancer screenings are using some of these devices, like the fluorescent devices. That's usually one of the first questions they get. What about that 12-year-old girl? And I did some research on that, and it turns out that even though she passed away last year in July, it wasn't until the following October that the medical examiner did release the autopsy report that It was actually a lethal dose of diphenhydramine from allergy or cold medication, and he does not feel it had anything. There's no evidence
Wow.
at all that it has anything to do with HPV vaccination. So, but when you do the Google searches on that,
Oh, sure.
you will find much more for information about how the vaccine was the culprit. But when they actually were able to disprove that, there's not as
Yeah.
many reports on that. So I hope people, when they're making that decision for their children, I think sometimes they always want to keep their child little and not face that they're ever going to be in a situation where they're going to be exposed to the most common sexually transmitted virus that is out there. But the fact is, this is a cancer-preventing vaccine. So they may not want to know that their
Yeah.
whatever activities their child may engage in at some point, but they may be saving not only their life, but by slowly having not only young girls but young boys vaccinated, we can possibly start eradicating this virus.
Well, that would be awesome because it's the fastest growing, like you said, demographic that's presenting with oral cancer. And when you're 20, that's the last thing you're thinking about, and it's the last thing
Exactly.
that you want to have happen to you.
Right.
It's crazy. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Jill, for
Oh, thank you.
alerting us to the Oral Cancer Walk in Waukesha next month. And if somebody wants to find out more or contact you, or you're still looking for sponsors, right? There's still openings for a few sponsors. They can contact you at waukesha.ocf.wi@gmail.com.
That is correct. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a great rest of the day.
You too.
That was Jill Meyer-Lippert of the Oral Cancer Walk Foundation, Oral Cancer Foundation Walk in Waukesha, Wisconsin, coming up October 17th. If you need to know more information, you can also look on the crosslinkradio.com page for this show and find the links for it. We had some good information, some good back and forth there, I think, about oral cancer, and I hope it helped raise some awareness for the public to know about oral cancer and what happens in the dental office when we're looking for oral cancer potential in our patients and the little hurdles that we have to go through, too, talking about cancer and bringing up the word cancer to our patients. It's not something that many of us relish. And some of us will avoid doing also. So have a great rest of the day, everybody, and stay tuned next time for another episode of CrossLink Radio. This is Shirley Gutkowski signing off. Wondering how to improve your oral systemic practice? Join me, Shirley Gutkowski, in my guided mastermind. Each one-month mastermind tackles a single topic that's easy to implement because you and your colleagues plan it and implement it together. 1 month, one topic, affordable. Contact me by email at shirley@crosslinkradio.com for more information or to sign up.